Welcome to the Mindful Mediums podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, an evidential spirit medium and intuitive development mentor. I talk to the dead for a living, and I help other people learn how to utilize their own gifts of spirit communication and trust more deeply in their intuition from a very grounded perspective. So if that's something you're into and you enjoy hearing about topics related to spirit communication, mediumship, psychism, tarot, the paranormal, all from a very grounded perspective, stay tuned for awesome guests, even some readings and discussion of all of these different topics from a very grounded perspective. Grab yourself a cup of coffee, pop in your earbuds, get comfortable, and get your water, because it's about to get real here on the Mindful Mediums podcast. This is just a quick content warning for this episode. This episode contains themes and discussions around cults, cult-like dynamics, high thought control groups, and cyberbullying. If this is something you're sensitive to, then I would recommend perhaps maybe listening at a later time when you feel inclined. Welcome back to another episode of the Mindful Mediums podcast. This week, I'm going to be tackling a topic that isn't necessarily mediumship or spirit related, but more related to the topic of social media, community, and parasocial relationships, and the wild, wild west that can be the landscape of social media, and navigating that realm as a consumer and a content creator, and things that we definitely need to be mindful of when it comes to these landscapes as it pertains to the dynamics of the relationships that we build on these platforms, no matter what topic we are engaging in, no matter what kind of content we are engaging in. And I'm going to talk, as this directly relates to my own experience within the landscape of social media, and the things that I've been through in developing different relationships and seeing different things play out. During my time, probably over the last, I'd say, 3 years, things got really wild just because of the way in which we started interacting with one another was really primarily online due to the pandemic. And I want to explore this topic because I think it is worth discussing. I think there's a lot of things that are highly nuanced in this discussion and in this topic that I want to cover, because I think it's a natural part of finding yourself and being on any kind of journey of like seeking and taking in information. If you're using the internet and you're using social media, these are some things that we need to be aware of. So what exactly is a parasocial relationship? So the term really is a psychological term that is used to describe the dynamic that is created between someone who is a public figure or is seen in the public eye and the relationship that they have with people who watch them, follow them, etc. Right? We used to think of parasocial relationships more so in the guise of like celebrity to like their audience. But now that we have things like social media, and some of these social media platforms have such incredible reach, which, don't get me wrong, I've seen some really amazing things come from the parasocial dynamics that are created on social media. Like, miracles can happen for people, and I think that's wonderful. But I've also seen it go to some pretty dark and harmful and unhealthy places. So we're going to be exploring both ends of that spectrum today when I talk about this. And especially, I'm going to be sharing a little bit of what I went through in the last year and a half being on particular social media platforms that have a large amount of reach. In today's terms, in the social media world, we're kind of talking more about the content creator to consumer or follower dynamic and that parasocial relationship. Because essentially what happens is the audience builds a relationship with the content creator or the celebrity where they feel like they know this person. They feel a connection to them on a human level. And what that does is it creates an interesting dynamic, an interesting bond between the content creator and their followers, or the influencer and their followers. And let's just be honest, the entire landscape of social media is set up and built for unhealthy community and unhealthy dynamics to really unfold, because you're only seeing a snippet of these people who are making content or are providing you with entertainment. And so, of course, as a consumer, we would feel a connection to them because they're sharing with us what they want us to see. Right? So you have a very skewed view or a limited perspective of who that person is, but it's all encompassing because it's all you see. And especially with platforms like, let's just take TikTok for example, because the reach is so vast and so large, and that algorithm heavily favors content that is very raw, authentic, down to earth, is relatable, right? And what are we looking for when we go online? We're looking for things that are going to feed our biases, feed our narrative, and validate our lived experience. That means hearing the stories of others that very much mirror our own, because we feel seen, we feel heard, we feel valued, and within that, you find like-minded people. And as humans, we are communal by nature. We want to have our experiences mirrored back to us because it makes us feel seen and validated. So we're going to gravitate towards people who mirror our own experiences, who we can see ourselves in. And ultimately, because of the way that the algorithms of social media are set up, they are very much geared to just continue to feed you content that is going to give you that emotional hit, whether that is a emotional rage hit or like a drama hit or one that makes you feel good inside or makes you feel seen so that you'll consume more and spend more time on these apps. So that's something that I think we all have to take into consideration whenever we are scrolling, is that there is an algorithm at play that is much smarter and much more nuanced than I think any of our brains could really comprehend. Because we're looking at AI here. And what this does, it's fostering this skewed view of the shared reality, right? It may be showing you things that are going to mimic and mirror what you believe about your reality to be true, right? So there's that. Or on the flip side of that, it could show you the opposite in order to get an emotional response out of you. They want you to interact with that content. They want you to leave a comment. They want you to stitch or duet or share, right? Because the more interaction you're giving, the more engagement the app is getting, the more time they're taking from you, and also the more money they're making off of you being on that app. And it took me a while to really grasp how effed up this was. There's a really great documentary called The Social Dilemma that's on, I think it's on Netflix. You can definitely check it out. But it really goes into depth about how the parasocial world is, the dynamics, the algorithms, how social media affects our brain. It's a really great documentary, and I won't get into too much of that here. But if you want to dive more into this topic, that's a great place to start. So how can this be a bad thing? Well, when it comes to your spiritual practice and your spirituality, if you're on a seeking path, you have to consider the rate at which you are taking in information. Well, before the age of the internet, we had to seek information out. You had to find teachers. There was a lot of oral traditions. Things were handed down. You read books. All of that took time, right? And within that time frame, what else did you have? You had time to integrate. Well, now we have streams of information just being fed to us daily. And those streams of information are intentionally dysregulating our nervous system, literally sending us into dopamine hit after dopamine hit, depleting our attention span, etc. Which is not necessarily a good thing. And it's not leaving time for integration, which that in and of itself is a big problem, because a lot of times, especially when it comes to spirituality, people tend to take things at face value. For whatever reason, when it comes to matters of faith and spirit, there seems to be this sort of, well, it's okay because it's mystical, it's magical, it's something I can't comprehend or I can't understand fully. And so we just let go of this need to critically think through things or ask harder questions, because sometimes that's just hard, and sometimes it makes us even more uncomfortable. So it's easier to just let things lie. So that's one of the dynamics that I've seen play out in the spiritual space, especially if you've ever been on like the side of some of these social media apps, like spiritual TikTok. Instagram and Facebook, I don't know if I would consider those more or less as influential as an app like TikTok has become. But I'm going to talk a little bit about my time and the parasocial dynamics that I saw unfold and how to know if you're falling into a parasocial dynamic within the social media platform space that may not necessarily be healthy. And one of the things that I've always leaned into is recognizing cult-like high thought control group dynamics when they start to play out on social media. Because let's be honest, because of the influencer, follower, content creator, follower, consumer dynamic, there is a, whether you like it or not, there is a power dynamic at play. And because people have a limited view of the person who is providing them the content and they feel a connection to them, that leads to a very skewed idea of how they are actually connected to this person, which is a breeding ground for online communities to become harmful and toxic. Because when a shared group of people come together with a mission or a shared belief, depending on what that belief is, they can move together. And they can move together under the guise or direction of the person who essentially created that community. And I've always leaned into something called the BITE model to help me recognize if the community or group or dynamic of the people I'm around is in fact becoming somewhat unhealthy. There's something called the BITE model, which was created by Stephen Hassan, who was a cult survivor. There are some problematic things with Stephen Hassan that I will not get into, but as with all things, we can't always throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we also know that if you've been involved in a high control group before or a cult before, you are more likely to end up in a similar situation again. And this is where one of those things can happen where you can become the antithesis of the thing that you were trying to either get away from, or like you become, like you go so far that you end up back in the same position you were in before, but on the other end of it, right? So like, for instance, what I've seen happen a lot in spiritual spaces, people, they don't deconstruct from Christianity or whatever religions or high thought control groups they were in completely. And then they kind of go on the other end of that, right? Where it's like, okay, now I want to advocate for, you know, against high control groups. I want to advocate against the harmful nature, which in the beginning is good, right? That can be really healing. But then what can happen is if you haven't deconstructed some of those underlying patterns that have already been laid in the psyche from being in that group, you can start to play out those exact same harmful dynamics on the other end of the spectrum back in the other direction. And this is what I'm going to talk about, what I saw happen within the parasocial community that I was semi-involved in earlier this year, and use this as an example. This is where I see it. Like I said, in the spiritual community, it usually turns into you're proselytizing in another way, like under the guise of another mission. And that takes a lot of self-reflection to undo. Let's be honest, the deconstruction work that comes from leaving a thought control group or a high control group or a cult takes a lot of time, and you have to give yourself the time and space to go through that. And if you don't, and you end up on this sort of savior train or the trauma train, as I like to think of it for myself, that I need to warn everybody and kind of just talk about it and share my experiences and share what I learned and really put the focus on helping someone else, I'm doing nothing but avoiding what I should be doing, which is focusing on my own healing from that. Right? Inadvertently, you can do both at the same time. And this is one of the reasons why when I started talking about the deconstruction from the New Age, when I left the New Age completely and kind of dropped those beliefs and really had to untie and unpack so much of that, but I intentionally paced myself with it because of the fact that I knew I would catch myself when I would move into that proselytizing nature with my content, when I would catch myself. That's one of the reasons why I really pulled back from making that type of content. For anyone who's wondering, this type of content was content I was making on a whole different account, separate from any of my other social media accounts. And in that, I ended up connecting with other people who had been hurt by the New Age, who were calling out toxic New Age beliefs. And we came together, and while we never met in real life, we all felt a deep connection to each other because we had that unified bond and we had that mission, right? And so as I moved into this space, something that I found was that there were certain people in the community who would not only call out ideologies, which I thought was, this is great, this is what, you know, we need to be talking about the harm that some of these things can cause, but more so that we wanted to spread awareness of, like, if you are believing this type of stuff, just being mindful of who you share it with, how you speak about it, how you integrate it into your practice, because it could be really harmful and detrimental to someone's psyche, especially if you're working in a spiritual capacity with people. And that was really the angle that I was choosing to take with my sharing my content around this stuff. And then it turned into going from calling out ideologies to calling out people, directly attacking those who were sharing these things. And they became so convicted. And what happened was I started to see this unraveling, or this sort of like unhealthy dynamic that started to be created, almost this like rage farming, where it was like the creators were feeding off of the drama and the rage that they were evoking from those with an opposing viewpoint. And that was where things started to get a little hairy. And I started noticing myself even having some, checking off some boxes of the bite model when it came to how I was engaging with some of this content. And it forced me to take a step back and really look at, like, okay, have I moved so far? Has the pendulum swung so far in the other direction that I'm becoming almost emulating what it is I was fighting against? Right? In terms of the dynamics. And that really made me stop and think. And that was when I realized these communities are not bred for anything healthy. I don't think there's anything really healthy that can happen in a particularly community like this, because you have all these people coming together who are all really trying to heal from their hurt, heal from their wounding. And while we're all trying to do that together, it's really easy to point the finger and not look at ourselves and kind of go through that process of understanding why we ended up where we did. I started seeing the community that these content creators who ended up with these really huge followings, the links that the community that was fostered in that, under that person or under those influencers, you have no control over that community. And I want to be very clear about this. Like, no matter what you do, and you can tell people, don't put me on a pedestal as a content creator. You could tell the community that is following you to not do something, but they're going to move together on a mission. And what I started seeing happen was community going after other members of community, of another community. And it was this like really unhealthy back and forth, cyberbullying, doxing. Like, it was just, it was some of the most horrific things I've ever seen come from social media. And that really made me examine the parasocial relationships and the parasocial dynamics that exist and how they are ripe for the picking of toxic dynamics and unhealthy dynamics. There is, like I said, I've seen great things happen with community on this app. I've made some amazing friends who will forever be in real life friends that I've met through apps like TikTok. But when it comes to the community, remember, you're only seeing a snippet of what someone is or who they are and how they want to portray themselves. It's curated. And I think we have to really take that into consideration and remember that at the end of the day, we don't really know each other. Unless you've met someone in real life and you've spent time with them. And even then, you still don't always know the ins and outs of someone. And I think that that begs the question of how do we navigate these types of relationships? Because this is becoming the norm, right? We are building strong connections with other people online. I think we have to really keep in mind that we don't really know these people. And especially, you have to really ask yourself, like, what would I be willing to do for this person that I've never met? That's the other thing. Because like I said, there can be this idealization that happens in the mind of who these people are, of who, because you're only seeing their online presence. And so I just want to kind of just give people something to think about and be mindful of when you're navigating these online spaces and checking in with the communities that you're engaging with. Are you starting to notice that there's an othering going on? Are you starting to notice that there's, things that mimic kind of these unhealthy dynamics, right? So this is where I always, like I said, I've leaned into the BITE model. And I'll link to the BITE model in the show notes so you can download the BITE model pamphlet and you can have it if you would like to review it for what it is. Most of the time, when you're engaging in an unhealthy community or an unhealthy dynamic, it's kind of hard to see for the forest for the trees, and you kind of need to have that reality check. So you need that thing to keep you grounded. And for me, it's been the BITE model. High thought control groups don't always have to be big groups of people. They can literally exist in small, intimate circles. They can exist in families. Like, this is the thing that's so jacked about all of this, is that these dynamics are so integrated into like how we interact as people in different relationships that it's everywhere. And you don't want to be so traumatized. I know for me, that's what happened. I was a bit traumatized to the point where I felt like everything was a cult or fell into that role of the BITE model for a long time. And now that I'm on the outside of it, I've kind of let some of that go. I've processed a lot of the stuff around this that I can talk about it now. But I had to rectify the fact that, like, I was falling into those same patterns and habits that I was so vehemently against, that I was so much trying to avoid. And within the framework under the guise of like calling out the cult-like stuff, right? Like, it's just so backwards if you really think about it. So, what can we do? So, putting the phone down, stepping away from social media. And connecting with people who are right in front of us, connecting with those in our world. Why is I think the rise of social media so popular is because people respond to seeing themselves and their experiences reflected back to them. And that's what creates community, and that's what creates unification, and that's what can create that dynamic. And when you have one person at the helm and you have one person who is really spearheading a mission, a movement, or what you believe in, and you really feel seen by that person, even though they have no idea who you are, that can lead you to have this sort of skewed perception of the way in which you are interacting with them or the relationship that you have with them, and that is the parasocial relationship. And it is so unique, and it is so different, and it's happening. And changing the landscape of parasocial relationships is so different now because these are people on TikTok. These are people on social media, on Instagram. These are influencers. They're not celebrities who are in the movies anymore. So these are people who you may actually have the opportunity to fully engage with. Like, they may be commenting back to you or interacting with the things you post, right? So it's just very. It creates a very skewed way of looking at relationships, or a skewed dynamic of a relationship. I think we all need to be cognizant of. So, with that being said, what I just want to make it totally clear, like, I'm not saying like don't engage in community online. I am saying be cognizant of the communities and the information and the content that you are consuming when you're online, how connected you are feeling to the people on your online community, and what kind of influence is that having in your everyday real life. And if it's starting to become all-encompassing, if it's starting to feel draining, if it's starting to feel, or on the opposite end of that, if you get like a really high hit of dopamine from that, be cognizant of that too, right? Because that's not always good either. We have to know when to separate ourselves from these things. And this is one reason why I am a strong advocate for, yes, build and foster community, but remember, it's just that it's an online community. And until I meet someone in real life or I have interactions with them off of social media that denote me learning about them and seeing multiple sides of them that are not just portrayed on their online presence, keeping that in mind that, like, I really don't know this person. I don't know really who they are. I only get to see a snapshot of who they are. So before I draw conclusions about the type of person they are, like always keeping that in mind. So yeah, it was a real eye-opening experience going through what I went through in the last year on social media, the way it affected me, the way it affected my mental health, because it did affect my mental health, was really mind-boggling. And it's one of the reasons why if you follow me on TikTok and you are following my backup account, you'll notice that I privated it. You'll notice that I don't really make content over there anymore. And a lot of that is because I had to really step away and reflect on my time engaging with people in that space, because it was not healthy for me. And it's still not necessarily healthy for me to engage too much in making controversial content, because number one, my mental health doesn't always have the bandwidth to handle the interaction that controversial content can garner on social media. And so until I feel like I have the bandwidth to make that type of content, I will just let others do the heavy lifting for now. And I recognize the fact that I'm not going to save anybody. I'm literally just sharing my experience. Whew, this was a heavy episode. So with that being said, I'm going to leave it here today. And I hope that you found this particular topic and what I shared today interesting. Thanks for being here. If you're still here all the way to the end, you are a real one. And I'm curious to know, you know, what your experience has been within parasocial relationships and how you've maybe recognized the unhealthy ways or the healthy ways and the beauty that it can foster, but also the incredibly toxic pendulum swing that it can foster too. So until next time, stay grounded, and I will talk to you soon.